Hi, my name's Amanda, and my single-minded story is a bit like a sandwich. I guess as time passed, I came out of that fog and was able to look back and reflect on what my life was like now, as a single woman again. I was only 42 when he died. Often feeling a little forgotten by married friends, you know, that they always look for another couple to go to the movies with or to go to dinner with. 5, 7, 3 is an odd number.
Well, hi everyone, I'm Danny Treweek and welcome to another episode of Single Minded Stories brought to you by Single Minded. We're a podcast about singleness, but for everyone. In each episode, we chat with a different single Christian guest about their single-minded story. They share with us the joys, the challenges, the opportunities, and the room for growth that there's been part of their singleness story, and most importantly, part of their life with Jesus. Today, I have with me Amanda. Thanks, Amanda, for being willing to share your single-minded story with us. At the top of the episode, you gave us a very intriguing sneak peek that your story is one which you would describe like a sandwich. So I'm excited to hear more about why we went there. But for the moment, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Thank you, Danny. Well, for a start, I have had a gold opal card for a few years now.
For our non-Aussie listeners, what's a gold opal card? They'll have no idea what that means.
That is a government public transport pass, and it's gold when you reach 60 years of age in New South Wales.
Okay, so that was a subtle way of sort of telling us a general age range that we're talking about here.
That's it. Great. I've been a Christian most of my life since I was a young teenager. I put my faith and trust in Jesus in year 8 at Easter at a camp one of my school friends invited me to. At Oberon, which is just west of the Blue Mountains, west of Sydney. Since then, I grew up with my family, a bit of a tomboy, really. Enjoyed playing outside sports games, tennis, cricket, soccer, riding a skateboard. I even enjoy and still do play ladies' midweek comp tennis, which is great. And I enjoy going to watch the kids and the grandkids play their sports as well, soccer, netball. And I'm a bit of a footy tragic, and I follow the mighty Penrith Panthers. So I enjoy a whole lot of fun and family. My immediate family is 3 adult kids who, with their 2 partners, all profess faith and commitment to Jesus. And I have 6 grandchildren, aging between 5 and 16 years, who are growing in their faith and knowledge and love of Jesus. And I just want to give absolute thanks to God for his faithfulness in all that. My immediate thought, as I want to recount to you now, is that God's faithfulness through my life. As a teenager, growing up in a good Sydney Anglican church with a great youth fellowship and friends as we grew up in our faith together. That was where I met my husband. And after a few years, we went to Moore College, which is the theological college in Sydney. God was faithful through our time at college with 3 young children and as we moved into parish ministry and the church, which has been our home now for the last 33 years. So that's a bit of much of a summary of where I am, who I am.
Great, great. I think there's another very important moment of cultural translation here. When you said footy, I know exactly what you're talking about. Our American listeners will be thinking American football. And our UK European listeners are probably thinking football, soccer?
Round ball.
Yeah, no, footy in Australia is quite a different sport, although there's a few different sorts of footy in Australia too. So anyway, if anyone is
talking rugby league.
Whereas, you know, if I'm talking football, I'm talking rugby union. So, you know, we've got a little bit of a code clash going on here, but that's all right. All right, Amanda, thank you for that. You mentioned your husband. And here you are on a podcast about singleness. So can you tell us a little bit about your story of singleness?
Yes, as I did say, at the beginning, my life was like a sandwich or an Italian focaccia, which, as we all know, comes in three parts. I've been single for the two outside parts, which are the bread of the sandwich, and the filling in the middle, delicious as it was my married life. So it was towards the end of 1999, my husband came home from church in the evening, after the evening service, and we went to bed like any other night. But he never woke up in the morning. He had a massive fatal heart attack in the night, in the bed next to me. There was nothing we could do. He went to be with Jesus, and I went into a fog. Not sure for how long, days, weeks, months, nothing was the same anymore. I guess as time passed, I came out of that fog and was able to look back and reflect on what my life was like now, as a single woman again. I was only 42 when he died.
Amanda, thanks for sharing that. That sounded like it was awful, and I could only imagine what it was like to be in that fog, and then the grief that was part of that fog and continued after that fog lifted. What would you tell us a little bit about what that was like for you, that grief?
I guess grief and the sudden shock that unexpected death brings is physically, emotionally, and mentally exhausting, and spiritually testing. And looking back, I'm pretty sure I was in a fog. I'm sure there would be other friends and family who could probably remember things that I don't, or tell a little bit more about how I was. But I just know that brothers and sisters at church and family and friends who walked with us were wonderfully supportive. And everyone's grief is different. Everyone's experience in a different way. So one story is one's own story. And everyone's story is their own story.
Yeah, yeah. Even as that overall experience of grief is something that we would all recognise in different ways in our own life, that very individual experience of it in our circumstances. Yeah. So how long have you been married for, Amanda?
Less than 20 years.
Okay, so less than 20 years, and you were expecting a lifetime of marriage, and then very abruptly found yourself single again. I could imagine that would be incredibly disorientating. Can you talk to us a little bit of the challenges and the complexities of singleness after marriage?
I guess, yeah, the complexities and challenges were in coming to terms with how completely different my life was now in so, so many ways as a single woman again. Yet God in his great faithfulness was very faithful to me. And kept me and my family faithful to him. We could all have thrown our hands in the air and walked away. After the fog lifted, I was able in my prayers and meditations and in the scriptures to look back and know of God's faithfulness in all things throughout my life. So that was a perspective that I found very helpful. I had some Bible passages that were particularly special that I read through, and it gave me strength and encouragement. Basically, I think with the faithfulness thing, if God had always shown that his character was one who was faithful forever, was he now going to change his character and not be faithful? And in time, yes, I could hold on to that. So in this new slice of life, was God going to be unfaithful? And the answer was no. So, and some of the challenges and complexities with this is that now I didn't have my husband anymore to do all the things that husbands do, which are varied in everyone's marriage. No husband and wife relationship is the same, different for every couple. But now I have to do it all for myself and by myself. Put out the garbage, put the petrol in the car, decide what to have for dinner, do any repairs or things around the house, go for a walk or not go for a walk. No one to chat through things with.
Yeah, I was just, as you were talking then, I was just reflecting that that is one of the things that I find difficult about being single too, is that you every decision you essentially make, you know, is one that at least you want to talk to other people about, but you're the one who is solely impacted by these decisions most of the time, at least in the immediate sense. It's your responsibility to constantly be making those decisions. And so having experienced, you know, the privilege and blessing of making those decisions alongside a husband, to suddenly be in that position would have been incredibly challenging,
and I can imagine. And it was different earlier in the days too, with the children at home. There were three teenagers working through things with them. But now that they've, you know, grown up, moved on, on my own. And I guess one of the other things is I just look the same as any other woman, and yet I've got all the trappings of a married woman, the name, the kids, the parents-in-law until a few years ago, grandchildren, the big family home, but not the husband. I had to do all the mum family growing up things as a single mum, the driving lessons, they were fun, HSC, end of school graduations, uni graduations, all the things you know, as parents, you're proud of your kids. Two weddings. Yeah, so they were a lot of the challenges and the complexities over the years. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think certainly for me, and I think a lot of us, when we think of about singleness in the Christian life, our minds automatically goes to those who have never been married. And that is, you know, a big portion of the single Christian community. But there's another significant portion of single Christians who are those who are single again, whether it is through death or divorce. And even as there's really significant overlaps in those experiences, like you and I just discussed with kind of the decision-making and responsibility falling back on you all the time, actually, yeah, the fact that children, you know, you're now a single mother with all of the blessings but also challenges that come with that. I often think that we in churches forget actually how different those experiences of singleness can be for widowers and widows and divorcees in our churches. So, yeah.
Because I was, you know, widowed early in my 40s, having known the love and the pleasures of being married to a lovely man, and then going through menopause alone and having to control my desires and emotions, that was a difficult time. But also now often feeling a little forgotten by married friends. You know, that they always look for another couple to go to the movies with or to go to dinner with. 5, 7, 3 is an odd number. So there's a little bit of being forgotten. Not always, but there are some particularly special friends who always include me, which is just lovely. And then even not the forgotten so much as when I'm with people, they forget that or don't realise the differences that there are between us now. So we might be out chatting, and they all talk about the next trip they're going to do with their husband, or they're going to talking about where they might go out for dinner with their husbands, that sort of thing. And I think, really, have you forgotten or have you no idea that that is nothing in my thinking at all? So that's that. They may not forget me, but they forget my situation. And so, obviously, you know, we chat about grandchildren, that's fine, I can do that, and kids, but those other little things.
This podcast is a ministry of the Single Minded Ministry. Here at Single Minded, we develop faithful resources about singleness that equip Christians, encourage Christian communities, and shape Christian culture. We'd love you to be part of that. So, check out our free resource library and upcoming events, subscribe to our podcast, join our mailing list, and spread the word about Single Minded. You can also help make our Single Minded vision a reality by partnering with us financially. Our ministry relies on the generous financial support of our community. So to make a regular or one-off financial gift, visit www.singleminded.community/give.
Let's acknowledge the complexities and the challenges, but also consider the blessings and you know, the benefits that singleness brings. What have been some of the ways that God has blessed you and others in and through your very unexpected singleness?
Well, I guess, yeah, this is a more positive note. We embrace, and I really feel happy to embrace, freedom and flexibility that my singleness gives me, which may not always feel the same for a married couple. And I can see this as a blessing from God now, not early days. So, I don't need so much to think and include husband in the planning of what should we do, where should we go, how should I do this. I can plan my own activities or make decisions based on my routine or availability. I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin and on my own. And so I'm comfortable with friends and family, but also in doing things on my own. So I guess that's the flexibility and the freedom. I also enjoy helping out, helping people because I'm more available to drive them places or pick them up, drop them off. I love driving, so that's a bonus. But basically, I'm an introvert, so to come home by myself to my own house and rest and recover alone after a busy time is good for me to recharge. Yeah, I feel blessed also that I've been blessed with a good physical health and well-being to date, which I know can't be taken for granted at my age, and it's not a guaranteed for any of us at any age.
With when you were talking about your freedom and flexibility, they're words that I often use with my own singleness too. Are there particular things that you have been able to do, certain ways you've been able to serve beyond driving people around, you know, whether it's in your church or elsewhere, that may not have been the case if Marco hadn't died? I mean, who knows? We can't always know what God's plans would have been either way, but can you see opportunities that doors God opened for you to serve that were probably a reality of your singleness?
I guess one way, until recently, I led a Bible study group for many, many years, a women's group, and over time we almost became known as the widows group, because out of the 10 or so in the group, as I noticed or was aware that a husband had died, I'd encouraged her if she wanted to chat and catch up and then maybe join the group. So one by one, sadly, the group increased. So that was an opportunity for women to draw together, to be encouraged by one another, to share and to read the Bible together. Yeah, in that, it wasn't just a widow. In that group there was others who were either married but married to unbelieving husbands, so they appeared single at church. There were some whose husbands went to different Bible study group for men. So, yeah, there's a bit of a combination.
You've told us a bit about your story of blessings and challenges. I know that your church community has been a significant part of that story. What are some ways that that has been the case, that your church community has been part of your single-minded story since your husband's death?
I guess because he was actually on the ministry team, one of the ministers at the church, and we'd been there for 9 years. So when he died, the whole parish was grieving. So that was a grief for them. He was one of their much-loved ministers with a good pastoral ministry with the elderly, and they'd all anticipated he'd be doing their funeral. And here they are turning up at his funeral. So that was, yeah, that went on for a long time. But I decided to go to church regularly each morning with my dear friend Di at my side, and, yeah, together to show God's faithfulness and encourage them as much as they were encouraging me, as hard as it was. Over the years, I've spoken and shared my testimony in different ways, different places, mainly in women's groups, either at our church or at other churches by invitation. Yeah, groups with single or no longer single women in attending in all ages and stages of life. So hopefully that's been an opportunity to share, again, God's faithfulness. Yeah, talking more about grief, but now that we're doing your single-minded ministries, it's the grief of singleness that certainly is up there as well. At church, I guess an encouragement, I mean, in our morning service, I just sort of did a bit of a head count at the service I attend, and there could be 9 or 10 widows in the group, in the congregation. I've got no idea how that's accounted for, but in the church pastoral care. But often after church, we'd stand around and chat together a bit, as women do. Sometimes we go to lunch together, a few of us. But there again, too, we might just look like a group of women chatting while another group of the husbands are all standing over aside chatting as well.
You know, you mentioned looking around in your church congregation, you could see 9 or 10 widows quite easily, maybe 1 or 2 widowers as well. I think that would probably be the case for quite a few churches. There is a significant number of single people who have been married in the past in our churches, particularly widows and widowers. If you had one piece of encouragement or wisdom to offer church leaders or just church members about loving and caring for those who have lost a spouse as a Christian, what would you say?
To encourage us all and everyone to know that our Christian faith is an individual thing. We're all saved as individuals. We're called into God's kingdom as individuals. And we're practicing, as you said earlier, sometime for eternity already, because in heaven we'll all be single. So our single-minded faith, I think, is a brilliant way to describe it. We all have a single-minded faith in Jesus, whether or not we're married. So I think to encourage everyone, not necessarily in the context of marriage, but as individual Christians, to strengthen and grow in their faith, to search for God's word and God's encouragement. Sometimes often too, a lot of the illustrations in sermons are about couple things. Why can't they be more individual observations as I observe something or you observe something? Because as you say, there are a lot of no longer singles in our church for whatever reason.
I often say to, when I'm speaking to church pastors or leaders, I say to them, why don't you find a couple of trusted, mature Christians in your congregation to just pay attention to the illustrations and applications that you use in your sermons over a period of a few months, and to give you some feedback on how often those are actually related to family life and children and married life exclusively. Because I suspect most pastors and preachers just don't recognize that that is how frequently it actually happens. So, yeah, I think there is great opportunity to recognize that in our churches there's a very broad mix of people from all sorts of different life situations and circumstances. Amanda, earlier when you were talking about that fog period in particular, you mentioned certain biblical passages had been really significant for you. And I imagine there's been other passages throughout your life since then that have been significant. Could you share just 1 or 2 of those with us and why they have been significant for your single-minded story?
Certainly. Yeah, one of the very first ones which came was from the Psalms, Psalm 121. When I was, you know, the morning after, the day after that, when I really was looking for God's help. And it starts, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And so I regularly read through the whole thing. He will not let your foot be moved. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And I thought, yes, that has been a huge encouragement that the Lord will keep your life forevermore, whatever that was going to look like. And I can look back now and say that he certainly has. So that's been a huge encouragement, my favourite psalm. And then I went through and looked at Lamentations, chapter 3, the middle of the chapter there. Verse 22 is probably well known. The steadfast love of the Lord never fails. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So, and the verses that surround that were in a place where that was a great encouragement as well. Joshua, chapter 1, and I'm going to insert a name instead of Moses, because God is now, after the death of Moses, encouraging Joshua as they were approaching entering the promised land. And God says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I took the opportunity to insert my husband's name in there. And that's been a great encouragement too, to be courageous and strong. And the Lord is with me wherever I go. So that's been beautiful. And then this other one from Habakkuk. I know these are all Old Testament.
I know. I'm loving this Old Testament focus.
I'm loving it too. I'm loving it too. Habakkuk, chapter 3, 17 to 19. These verses, as obscure as they seemed in the few weeks after my husband died, came on a card, a beautifully written, handwritten card from a lady at church, a beautiful, godly, insightful woman. And she wrote these verses. Though the fig tree does not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vine, though this, though that, it goes through about half a dozen, though this, though life is falling apart. And it finishes with, and I inserted in there my own personal verses, though I walk through life, though I no longer have my husband by my side, though my kids no longer have their father, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. And that too became just a huge encouragement from the book of Habakkuk. So I say these are Old Testament passages, which are a huge encouragement of God's goodness, love, faithfulness historically, but they all point to the loving faithfulness of Jesus as the perfect Son of God in his faithful life, which he provides for us in our ongoing faith in him.
You know, the thing that really struck me as I was listening to you read those verses out is I think all of them, you were reading these verses initially as a woman who, you know, had been left alone. All of a sudden your husband was gone and you were alone in a way that you hadn't been for 20 years. But all of those verses are a deep fundamental reminder that you actually were never alone, that God was with you every step of the way, ultimately in Jesus. And what an incredible mercy and truth it must have been to be able to hold on to that truth in the midst of that grief. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your single-minded story with us. As we finish, and you know, you may already have answered this question on the way through, and if you have, that's fine. But as we finish, what encouragement would you have for our listeners, whether they're married or single, as they pursue Christ in their own stories?
I guess I hope and pray that the encouragement of my story and life for others is founded in the faithfulness of God, in the good times and the not so good times, and the strength that comes through faith in a faithful and loving Heavenly Father who does not change, who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, for us. I guess that's the truth for everyone, whether they are married or single. I also encourage everyone to continue to draw close to God and wise Christian friends and search the Bible for God's comfort and strength in their own lives and as they work through their own stories and bring their own requests before God and struggles before God. And as I think I said, yeah, we're all saved as individuals, whether or not we're married or single or no longer single. Our single-minded faith in Jesus is what brings us together before God.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for sharing so openly with us. I'm sure that, you know, you've just said that you're hopeful that your story will encourage others to be faithful and remember not just to be faithful, but remember that God is faithful. And I have no doubt that that will have been the case, having just listened to it myself. So thank you for sharing with us. For our listeners, don't forget to subscribe, review, rate the podcast, let people know about Single Minded Stories. If you're new to Single Minded, you have no idea who Single Minded is, you can find out more about us, what we do. All of our free resources up on our website at www.singleminded.community. And as a ministry, we really do rely on the generous financial support of our community. So we'd love it if you'd consider partnering with us financially. To do that, to give a one-off or a regular gift, you can visit www.singleminded.community/give. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Thanks for listening to Single Minded Stories. For more information about Single Minded, to access our resource library, or to partner with us financially, visit www.singleminded.community. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook and X. Thanks to Danny Treweek and John Lee, our co-hosts, Sarah Sarangallo, our podcast editor, and Aaron Talada, who created our theme music.